Zorn, 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 the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
That we do.
We have to. Why wouldn't we? Eric Zorn is here from the Chicago Tribune. He comes by every Monday. And a lot of times we'll take a look at something Donald Trump has said or done. But really, this week, Eric, I don't know. You'd have to really look far and wide.
Let's go back to last Tuesday.
What happened?
Last Tuesday, he gave a speech. He read a speech without straying from the teleprompter too much. And the media swooned. You know, Van Jones, some of my most reliable liberal commentators were like, he is now presidential. That was a
presidential
speech.
Was he the one that said that's the moment that he became the president?
He was one of them who said that. Chris Wallace said it, too. There was a great, you know, actually a sigh of relief from, I think, from all sides. His polling on that speech was 60, 70, 80%.
Yeah.
Thought it was good. I mean, it depends on how you ask the question, but just about everybody who watched it said, well, that looks like a speech that a president would give.
He did a good job.
In a sense, he did. There's no question about
but
it.
But shouldn't we, Wendy and I were discussing it the day after it happened, don't we assume that whoever is elected the president of the United States should and will sound presidential?
You would think that someone who is elected to that job would be able to accomplish the bare minimum of going into Congress and reading a speech and not, you know, going.
It's a given.
It's a given. On the other hand, this is what we've been looking for him, you know, from him for a long time, right? We've been looking for him to grow into the job to become presidential. And there was a lot of talk that night and the next morning on the talk shows that this was a turning point for Trump, that he was pivoting. We keep hearing
sure seemed like it.
And then Saturday morning, unbelievable. I mean, he has
my sigh again.
The Sunday morning talk shows should have been about, this was a turnaround week for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Should have been, you know, he is. Last week he did the speech,
mm-hmm.
and then this coming week they're going to be floating their budgetary plans. They're going to be bringing up their Obamacare replacement ideas.
Right.
This is supposed to be a very presidential time for him. Saturday morning, I don't know how much you've talked about this already this morning, but he comes out with a series of tweets that's basically spreading this rumor that was published on Breitbart that President Obama was tapping Donald Trump's phones during the campaign, which is a completely outrageous allegation. The thing about it that's interesting to me is you've got sort of three possibilities, right? You get the possibility that President Obama was going around the courts and wiretapping phones in Trump Tower to benefit Hillary Clinton's campaign, mm-hmm. which is scandalous, felonious, you know, I mean,
ludicrous.
Really, lock him
up.
If Obama did that, lock him up. I mean, that is, you know, completely beyond the pale. Of course, there's no evidence at all that happened. That being one possibility, the other possibility is that Trump just completely made this up, that he based on, you know, rumors, speculation on in right-wing talk radio and in Breitbart, mm-hmm. places like that. He's just throwing it out there, but he's accusing Obama of this terrible crime. He's accusing him of a felony.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, for a president of the United States to accuse a former president of committing a felony, that's a huge story. That's a huge blunder, huge mistake, terrible thing. And the third possibility, which kind of threads the needle a little bit, which is that the Justice Department under Obama went to the courts and got an order, judicial order, forced just such a wiretap because there was enough evidence that there was probable cause to tap these phones because of the context with Russia.
Mm-hmm.
That's also pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, none of these are at all good. There's no like, well, this is no big deal. All three of those possibilities, the only three, are really big deals. Now, what Trump may not know is that the president of the United States can't wiretap anybody. He can't order a wiretap.
I've heard several people say that.
Unless he's got some shadow government going on, he's got to go through a judge. His Justice Department's got to go through a judge. The FBI, whatever, they've got to present evidence and say, look, this is why we think this is warranted, because they can't just go throwing wiretaps up.
Since Watergate?
On American citizens. Forever. Ben Rhodes, the one of Obama's top people, said, tweeted something like, no, President Obama, we can't do, presidents can't order wiretaps. We have that rule in place to protect the people from people like you.
Yeah.
Essentially, that's why presidents can't do this. So if there is that judicial order, then there's going to be some memoranda, some probable cause memoranda, some arguments that are classified now But the president, one power president does have is he's got the power unilaterally to lift these kinds of classifications. So he could, Trump could bring that out forward tomorrow. He'd say, like, here are the documents. Look what his Justice Department did. FBI head James Comey, who's been in the news for other reasons during this last year.
Yeah.
He has reportedly come out and demanded that the Justice Department say, no, this didn't happen. We didn't. The FBI did not ask for these. The FBI has nothing to do with this. We're not doing this. So you have a situation where, and one of the things I've been saying to people is, I wish that Donald Trump were a drinker. Because that would explain
you blame
some things.
Of that,
you
could
say,
yeah.
Well, he needs to recover from this. He's not a drinker. He is a complete teetotaler. So there's that explanation. You can't float that explanation. He gets up at 6 a.m. Now, his daughter and son-in-law are Orthodox Jews.
Yeah.
And
which I didn't know Ivanka converted.
I didn't
to.
Either.
So they, sundown Friday to sundown Saturday, they're on the Sabbath. And I'm not exactly sure what they do, but they're not involved with him at all.
He's on his own?
He's kind of on his own. And so it's like.
Dangerous time.
Yeah. And I think it was Peter Sagal maybe tweeted something like that. That Steve Bannon waits for sundown on Friday the way Dracula waits for midnight. It's like, yes, my opportunity. So you have this situation where he seems to go unhinged on Saturdays. And I've got to say, those tweets, that series of tweets, there were three tweets about Obama. He called him a bad man or a sick man for doing this. And then his fourth tweet was about Arnold Schwarzenegger's bad ratings.
Right, that he was fired. He didn't step down.
Does he do this Saturday morning to give SNL some fodder? Some material.
It's possible.
Is he trying to, hold the strings and say,
it is the same network as
I saw
a
writing credit on SNL for Donald Trump, so it's possible. What about this? With other stories in the news, like Russia or like Mike Pence also using
I said even Bill Left doesn't use an AOL.
No, of course not. I've even advanced since that.
Does Mike Pence still pay for AOL? That's all I want to know.
He still gets the little CD-ROMs at the bookstore.
Right. You've got mail.
All right, so with those stories in place, in Donald Trump's head, does he say, well, I'll create something of a diversion.
I'll
set something up so that people aren't talking about Mike Pence and the emails, or they're not talking about Russia. Is it possible that's his chess move?
It's possible. I don't think that he is that strategic. These things come out so early in the morning, and they're so, they're like got typos in them, and
spell TAP, T-A-P-P?
TV, he does like the extra P, so maybe we'll
that's what Russia says anyway.
So maybe it wasn't a typo. I'm sorry. That's wrong for a family audience.
Decorum.
Decorum. I know.
Come on.
I'll straighten up. Well, when we actually go on the air.
We'll clean it up then. All right. There's people that want to talk to us about just this same subject. We're at 312-981-7200. Call us there. Text us there. We'll get to that next. It's Bill and Wendy, along with Eric Zorn of the Tribune on WGN.
We're chatting with Zorn.
We sing the praises of Zorn.
Praise Zorn.
We do. All right. A lot of people want to check in on exactly what Donald Trump has been up to this week. We're at 312-981-7200 if you have a question or a comment.
Let's talk to Sarah. Hi, Sarah.
Hey, how are you?
Good. What are your thoughts on this, Sarah?
Oh, my God. I'll just start swearing if I can.
No, don't do that. Don't do that.
Right. No, I won't. I'll be polite.
All right.
But I'm just curious. Can President Obama, could he sue this clown? Because it seems like the only way that you get through to this moron, and that's being polite, is if you sue him. If you hit him.
So defamation of character, are you alluding to?
Right. I think that's what it is. It's defamation of character. He just comes out and he just makes up all these lies. Crowd size, his hand size, electoral size, everything.
Yeah.
Size matters, Sarah.
Yeah, size matters, yeah.
Well, sure. The short answer to your question is...
This guy's a mental case.
Brett Stevens of the Wall Street Journal, a conservative columnist at a conservative paper, tweeted out the other day, like, when is the Republican Party going to come to terms with the fact that the president is mentally ill?
Right.
I think that goes a little far, but that's the Wall Street Journal for you. You know, just way out there with their liberal theories.
Yeah.
Sarah, the short answer to your question is yes. You can sue anybody for anything. The question is whether you can prevail. I don't know that you would be able to prevail in this for defamation. I know you know about Obama. Obama is too cool to do this.
I know he's such a classy. He's such a classy guy. I just you know what those conservatives remind me of.
Careful.
It's like Scientology. It's like a cult. You can't say anything about them, or you know, you're erratic, or you're still ill, mad that Hillary didn't win. I'm not mad that Hillary didn't win. I'm mad that Trump, this imbecile. There's one thing he ever did right in his life. He hired the proper tax accountant to save him $1 billion out of his casinos. And that's it. Everything else has been a blunder.
Well, it is interesting what you talk about, which is that I think Republicans are breaking ranks a little bit. Certainly, Ben Sasse, who's the Republican senator from Nebraska
right, yeah.
has been really questioning what was Trump has been tweeting. Lindsey Graham mm-hmm. has been critical.
Right, but
John McCain has been.
Who is it from Utah? Chaffetz or whatever? I mean, he had every investigation going, and supposedly he's still investigating the Clintons or whatever. He was on CBS Morning News, and he's like, well, maybe, you know, you ought to be careful when you go around the corner because you really don't know what's there. Like, trying to split hair saying, well, Trump could be right. Trump could pick up the phone right now, call Intel, and show us the documentation of any recordings anywhere. You know why he won't do it? You know why him and Republicans are hiding today? Because Trump is a pathological liar.
Sarah, I feel your pain, to be honest with you.
I'm stopping at Target. I got to go in and get me some drugs, man.
All right.
I feel like this has been 4 years already.
I know.
I can't believe it's only 45 days.
Thank you, Sarah. That's, be careful
this
out
rant
there.
Sponsored by Target.
Well, I will admit this. It's very frustrating. It's very frustrating. And again, it's not fair to say this because we're going to go off the air for a break. But people who voted for Donald Trump and support Donald Trump, tell me how you, I mean, it's just crazy.
Whose job should it have been, Eric? Who should have the ability to say to Donald Trump, look, I know you like to tweet. I get it. But it's really not in your best interest or at this point any of our best interest for you to keep doing this. Who should be doing that to him?
Well, you would think that Reince Priebus, who's his chief of staff, would be the one who would have that job. His son-in-law, he trusts his son-in-law a great deal.
Yeah.
And the talk is in Washington that Jared Kushner, his son-in-law, is a moderating influence on him.
Mm-hmm.
But he does need somebody. He needs somebody really strong. And I don't think Reince Priebus is all that strong. I don't have, like, huge issues with him. He's a Republican president's chief of staff, I think. But I don't think he's a strong figure in it, and I don't think that Trump truly respects him. He needs someone very strong because he respects strength, clearly. He needs someone who is going to come in and, like, take his phone away and say, okay, look, we'll give you this back
when you
Saturday at sundown, but we're not going to keep up this kind of stream because it steps on all his messages.
Yeah.
People saying that, well, maybe he's using this to distract from the story. But, you know, in fact, the story should have been this weekend. As I said, it should have been he gave a good speech.
Right.
He's turned the corner. He's presidential. He's reaching out to Democrats. You know, he's already paving the way to be reelected. And instead, it's all about this wiretap tweets, which are directly connected to this investigation of the connections to Russia. So it's not like you can distract people from the Russia story by bringing up this other story because they're so connected. So I don't see that. I don't see this being like a successful diversion, like, look over there, something else to look at. It does turn everything into sort of a he said, she said thing. It's like, well, there's all these things coming out, so you never know what to believe. And if there is a broader strategy for him, it's like, you can't believe anything anymore. And I think that may be what he's going after here is like, look, all this stuff comes out and, oh, yeah, okay, now we have this information. But you know, you can't believe anything. You can't believe what's going on. So boy, you know, it's like I thought last Tuesday, we'd come in on Monday and talk about, wow, we got a new Donald Trump, a new presidency. It's a new era. But no.
But I wasn't even seeing through that, because if a grown man can't stand on a stage and read a teleprompter for an hour, then something's wrong. I wasn't believing just because he was reading words off of a teleprompter that he changed his ways.
But the fact that he stuck to the teleprompter is what made me feel.
He's done it a few times in the past. There have been a couple of other times where he has stuck to the...
Well, I think he stuck to the teleprompter during his inaugural speech, but that inaugural speech, the American Carnage speech, was so dark and
right.
so polarizing.
Not.
And this was not, I mean, you could perform, you know, the conventional sort of dissection of the speech and look at the policies he proposed. When I wrote about it afterwards, I said, look, I think that one of the things that he did in that speech was he overpromised. He promised everything.
Yeah.
We're going to bring dead industries roaring back. There's no problem that America has that.
Which
it
who
can't
could disagree with any of that? It's just how you're going to make it happen.
Well, you can disagree and say this is absurd what you're saying, but no one can disagree with the goal. Everyone want,
right.
you know, we all want everyone to have great jobs and great health care, and we want there to be all crime to go away and all these other things that he's promising. But, you know, realistically, yeah, he overpromised, and he also promised at the very end of the speech, if you remember, he said this is an end to trivial fights.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. And then a couple of days later,
yes, more trivial fights.
Psych.
But didn't he and other members of the Republican Party constantly berate Barack Obama for sticking to the teleprompter? And then when he does stick to the teleprompter and he gets high marks, all of a sudden everything's clear.
I never understood the attacks on Obama for the teleprompter. Obama was really good off a teleprompter.
Yeah.
He was a great speaker. And I think to counter the fact that he gave a really good speech, they said, well, but he's reading it off a teleprompter.
Yeah. They all have.
And Trump,
president.
During his campaign, he would go to these rallies, and those were not teleprompted speeches, but they were just boring repetitions of crowd-pleasing lines. Who's going to build the wall? And so on.
Yeah.
But when you can't just do that in a State of the Union-like setting, which was what that joint address was. You can't just say, okay, everybody, we're going to build a wall. Who's going to pay for it? You can't do that. You have to have something to present. And every president, every politician of any level who's good at this knows that you got to choose your words carefully and stick to them, because otherwise you end up saying stupid stuff, and you don't want to do that.
No, thanks, leave
Eric.
That to us.
Right.
Leave that to the professionals on the radio.
Please. Eric, thank you. It's Eric Zorn. Read him in the Chicago Tribune. We'll take a quick break, find out what Steve has next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.